Jesus instructs us to give thanks, to know at the core of our being, despite external circumstances, that, Lord, you are for us. You are a good God who is working in our lives to grow us deeper in our walk with you, to enhance our love. And Lord, if we're honest, we have ungrateful hearts. We are complainers. But rarely do we stop and consider all of the blessings, to count, Lord, the ways that you have blessed and provided and moved in our lives. Lord, we're sorry. Lord, we're sorry that it takes a national holiday like Thanksgiving to draw your people's heart to remember to give thanks. So, Lord, even in this message, even in these words from Psalms 100, would you invigorate our heart? Lord, that those of us who are cold in our affections towards you, that this would remind us of why we should be full to the brim and overflowing in our heart with love and excitement and joy. And Lord, that out of that abundance of our heart would come thanksgiving and praise and worship and celebration. Because Lord, you are good, and your love endures forever. So Lord, to that end, we pray that you would move and work this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the question that arrives every year is, at what point can we begin playing Christmas music? Right? Halloween happens, or as we like to call it, Reformation Day, but Halloween in the secular world happens. And then it's almost like the next day, November, can we start playing Christmas? Disney starts setting up the Christmas lights, and we move towards here's the Black Friday celebration. I mean, they start every year. It's earlier and earlier. I mean, somebody was telling me, like, Wave FM already is playing Christmas music, right? And in some ways, it's indicative of our culture, because we are consumeristic. We move from Halloween, which has become one of the most expensive holidays. We spend so much money on candy and on costumes, and it's really become more of an adult celebration than even a children's celebration. We move from spending there to putting our minds on what can we buy, what's the deals going to be at Thanksgiving, you know, on Good Friday, what are we getting at Christmas, what's our Christmas list, what do we want, and we just kind of gloss right over this holiday called Thanksgiving for many of us. We know it's there, but even this week, we're thinking, yeah, okay, I'm going to get to eat Thanksgiving, but what are we doing Friday, right? Instead of really pausing and reflecting that we're called to give thanks. And so this morning, what we're going to do is look at a psalm, Psalm 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Again, it's one of these things where you look at how the Lord works and moves, and I shared a couple of weeks ago about preaching at Claire's funeral and a passage. This week I had, you know, there's a bunch of passages in the Old Testament that you can, or the New Testament as well, but that are Thanksgiving-like psalms and Thanksgiving messages. And I had chosen Psalm 100, and I sent it to Donna and Gina to make the bulletins. And then Donna comes in and she says, how amazing. Look at the front of your bulletin. Psalm 100 lines up perfectly. I didn't know that. So apparently the Lord wants us to hear Psalm 100. And I'm just going to share this with you again. I try to be real transparent with you. I'm not great at Psalm 100. I'm not acting like I'm the pro up here and you need to follow my example. What I'm sharing is, here's what I feel like the Lord's telling me to do in my own life, and I hope that it encourages you in your own life as well. So very short psalm. We'll just kind of read through it, and then I'm going to go back and make some comments to us, and hopefully stir our affections to the Lord. So follow along in Psalm 100. If you don't have a Bible, you can follow on the screen, Psalm 100. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Amen. We'll go back and we'll just kind of walk through this psalm. Look at the very beginning. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. I had an amazing event happen in my life when I was a junior in college. This is FSU Florida Rivalry Week. So when I was a junior in college, FSU played Florida in Tallahassee, and we beat the Gators. And they were like number one. Were you there? I mean, 97. So Florida was number one. We were like number three or something like that. And we beat them, and for some strange reason, we stormed the field. I still have grass in my office from Doak Campbell Stadium from that event. Tore down the goalpost. I mean, it's the only time I think FSU has ever done that. And I was there. It was an awesome time. So you win, and you're just so excited. I mean, people are just going crazy. And then afterwards, as you're walking out of the stadium, you Gators know what I'm talking about, right? You know that game, right? So you're walking out of the stadium, and people are just screaming and hollering. There's this great victory that has happened. I mean, people are walking with the goalpost down into the, you know, to the main place where they were going to do it, and you're trying to get in your car, and everybody's honking the horn, they're just yelling and screaming. It's just exuberant celebration. Foolish celebration in some ways, but just exciting celebration. Why am I mentioning that? Well, look at that first verse. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. In some ways, I feel like that's kind of what this passage is telling us. We, as excited as we get about victories and sports or other things like that, and how we just get, oh, and notice that it says make a joyful noise, not this great choir, not this orchestrated thing that sounds beautiful. Like when there's a celebration, it's the honking of horns, and in Hialeah, they're banging on the pans. But it is just, I am so excited about what has just happened in my life. It is so good. And I think that's what the text is telling us to do as well. Give thanks, celebrate, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Why? Because He has been triumphant. He has defeated sin. He has defeated evil. He has defeated death. So as excited as we get about football games, which have really no eternal value, how much more should in our heart should we be, yes, God has defeated my sin. Yes, God has defeated the evil one. Yes, God. I mean, that kind of attitude, right? I mean, that's what he's getting at. Be excited. Oh, Christian, where is our excitement for the Lord? What I think happens with so many of us is we just kind of walk around in life, and yeah, I'm a Christian, and yeah, God saved me, but there's not this constant sense of God has won the victory for me. I didn't play for FSU, but I enjoyed the fruit of their victory. I didn't do anything except sin. Christ paid my debt, but I can surely be thankful and excited about that. That's what he, let us in our hearts, let us make a joyful noise. So really, when is the last time you just had this joyful noise in your heart? I'm not saying here in church, I mean, you can for sure, but even think about that, the way we sing. Are we doing joyful noise? Are we singing with celebrating in our heart? Am I singing that way? What about in our prayer life? Lord, I am so thankful that you have defeated the evil one. He's coming against me, these temptations, but I know that I have victory because you have won it for me, right? I mean, that's what he's getting at. There's this intensity in this passage that I don't think we grab hold of. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. And then he goes on. Serve the Lord, gladness, right? So think about that. God has paid your debt. God has died for you. God has provided eternal salvation. And so what he's saying is then what our response to that is, we should serve him joyfully, thankfully, gratefully, exciting in our hearts. Lord, it is a God, I'm so honored that I can serve you. I'm so thankful that I can spend my life, let me say this, the text is not talking about ministers. He's talking about all of us. Not you've got to go in the ministry and that's how you serve the Lord. No, what he's saying here is serve the Lord with gladness. So we gave thanks to all of you this morning who serve in different ways. And for you to give thanks, Lord, thank you that I get to minister to the next generation of believers. Thank you, Lord, that I can serve and welcoming people into the church. But not just that, thank you that I can serve you in the way that I'm living. I can serve you in the way that I'm honoring you with my family, right? I mean, that's what he's getting at. Serve the Lord, not in fear, not out of I've got to do this in order to earn salvation, but do it because he's victorious and he's saying you are on the winning team, and so we get to enjoy the fruit of that. So in our hearts, let's celebrate and let's, God, I want to serve you. You have done amazing things. Let me serve you with gladness. Come into his presence with singing, praise, jubilation. Again, I don't know what you think of when you think about entering into God's presence. And I know sometimes the mindset of church is holy and don't run and don't make loud noises and don't do this and don't do that, right? And when you come into heaven, it's going to be a library or something. I don't know. But when you read this text, it doesn't imply that at all. It's saying, woo, that kind of thing, right? I mean, there's celebration. There is excitement. Come in there with singing. Yes, Lord, you have done this for me, right? I mean, where is that in our hearts? Come into his presence with jubilation. You see those videos where a dad's been off or mom's been off in war, and they bring them to like the football stadium or something like that, and the family runs, and there's this great celebration, and they're all excited. I mean, that's the image I have like of us. When we come into Christ's presence, when we enter in the glory, there he is, and like running and taking off and just celebrating and having this great thing. So we can even do that now in our hearts, being thankful and singing and celebrating. God, you have paid my debt. God, I'm able to serve you. I want to sing and celebrate. I told you, I don't do this. This is not me either. I'm working on this. I want this to be my heart. Verse 2. Says this, know this. I think there's some four things that we can kind of draw out of this passage. One, know that the Lord, he is God. Know that this one we're singing about, he is God. God of gods, Lord of lords, name above every name, creator of all things, as Colossians 1 says, everything that has been created was created by him and for him. It's not one of many gods. It's not, I'm not sure if he's the main god and there's other gods or there's somebody over him. He is the Lord. Think about that. There is, you know, there is no other team that is any better, any stronger, ever have any victory. What he's wanting us to know is the one that we're singing to, the one that we're celebrating about, he is Lord of all, over all creation, over all things. It is his. Know this. And that is what John 1 says, right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and walks us through this amazing thing about how he moved and he worked and, you know, he became flesh and dwelt among us, right? I mean, he wants us to know that the Lord, one, he is God. And then this, second, this God, this creator of the universe, this one who has all strength, might, power, wisdom, glory, he made us. Think about that. Again, this whole, and just not just evolution and coming out of nothing, but he made us. Jeremiah, I knitted you together in your mother's womb in Psalms, and Jeremiah 1, I knew you before you were born, and passage in Genesis, let us make man in our image. I mean, God is creating us, that he has made us. So many of the passages in the Bible, he's appointed us, he's numbered our days. I mean, God is the one who has saved us. He has intricately worked in our lives and is moving and providing and orchestrating and divinely purposing the things that are accomplished in our life, right? Know that. Then he says this, and not just he created us, and we are his. What does that mean? We're his. Well, the reason that we sing and celebrate, the reason we can say he has had victory over sin and death for me, is because we're his. He's the Lord. He didn't just create us, but then he does what? He redeemed us. We're his. We're his. I know we're Americans, many of us in this room, and we pride ourselves and free and independent and all that kind of self-spirit. He owns us. And that's not a bad thing. That is a glorious thing, because if he doesn't own us, that means the evil one does. You're not your own. The Bible says he has purchased us. He has redeemed us with his blood. We're his. It's like a dog at a shelter. He's in his little fences. And you walk by this one, you walk by this one. Oh, look at this Dalmatian. It is beautiful. And you purchase it. That Dalmatian doesn't look at its owner and say, "Ah, you own me." That Dalmatian does what? It is so thankful and overwhelmed that he is not in the pen anymore, but that he has an owner. How much more for us? That's what you were. Dead in your sins and trespasses. And he bought you with his blood. He owns us. It means that nobody else can own us. He's given us his Holy Spirit as the seal that we are his. That should cause us to give thanks. And he goes on. Not only is he the Lord and he created us and he's redeemed us, but also we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. What does that mean? So not only has he redeemed us, but he's our good shepherd and he's at work in our lives and he's protecting us. And I think where it's going here is it's a reminder that he is at will. He's at work in us both to will and to work according to his good pleasure. That he who began the good work in us will be faithful to bring it to completion, right? He is at work keeping us in the faith. He is at work through his Holy Spirit, drawing us to him, right? So he's the creator. He created us. I mean, he's sovereign God. He created us. He's redeemed us. And he is at work ensuring that we will finish the race. We say this, and I think it's wrong in Baptist circles, once saved, always saved. I don't think that's what the Bible teaches. I think what the Bible teaches is there's a perseverance of the saints. The difference there is, once saved, always saved just kind of gives this idea that, you know, I've done something and so I'm good. Perseverance of the saints has this idea is, yes, if you come to faith in Christ through the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, you will stay in the faith, you will finish your race, you will enter into eternity, not because of you're so great and that you've kept the faith, but because he has been at work in you, making sure that you persevere and finish. It's like you're running in a cross-country meet, and you're trying to run the race, and he's right there running alongside on the outside saying, "Come on, you can do it. You can finish. You need water. Here's water. You need a power bar. Here's a power ball. Keep going. Keep." That's what he's doing in our lives, keeping us running and finishing. We're his. We're his sheep. He watches over us. He takes care of us. He protects us. So, therefore, verse 4, what should we do? We should enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. It has this idea of, like, you know, we talk about the pearly gates and heaven kind of being separated and this great wall and all that kind of stuff. And so when it's saying, when you come into his presence, do so with such joy. Now this, I think, fits well for us being in Florida, right? You've seen people. They open up the gates at Disney. And how do people, I mean, people go crazy. Kids are so excited, and they don't realize that just getting on the boat, they still got to cross over, right? You're not in Disney yet, but they're so excited. And then you actually walk through, and you're on the main street, and there's just this, oh, so excited. I think that's what the text is getting there, too. When we enter into his presence, into his courts, oh, God, I'm so thankful. I'm thankful that you're my creator. I'm thankful that you've redeemed me. I'm thankful that you have finished my race. So even now, this isn't just something we do in eternity. Even now, today, God, thank you. Thank you that you are at work in my life today, keeping me in the faith, helping me run the race. And so when do we enter his courts? Well, we enter his courts now when we come in praise, in prayer, when we come together in worship, right? So do it joyfully, thankfully. Let's pause there. When's the last time we really have just stopped and when we enter into prayer, when we enter into His presence, that we really just give thanks with praise and celebratory hearts? I know, I mean, I'm guilty of it. Many of you probably are. I mean, we get overwhelmed with our needs and our worries and our anxieties and our pressures. And Lord, I need this. Lord, I need you to do this. Lord, I need this. And it's a reminder to us that He knows what we need even before we ask. And He is already at work, moving and working in those ways, even though we may not see it. And so in some ways we can say, Travis, you can say, well, this is an area of my life, or this is something going on in my family, this is something going on at work, or this is something with my neighborhood, whatever. Lord, this just bothered me, but I just want to just thank you. I want to thank you I have a house. I want to thank you I have a wife. I want to thank you I have a job. I want to thank you I have a, whatever it is, right? I mean, just thanking Him. Lord, I need you to work over here, but I'm not going to worry about that right now because I know that you are a good God who loves me and you're working in my life for good, and so I'm going to trust you in these things. But Lord, I just want to give thanks to you. I'm not saying you can't ever petition, but like we always kind of camp out and petition. And very rarely is it really thanksgiving and just, God, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thanks for the way you're working and providing. And so it's not just at Thanksgiving time that we should stop and say, Lord, thank you, but it really should be every day. Remember that song? I was trying to think of the way the beat, but I don't know it, so I'm just going to make a joyful noise. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Right, remember that song? Count your blessings. Yeah. So when's the last time you really just stopped and counted blessings? What if you just took out a paper this week and just listed, Lord, here's what I'm thankful for. Lord, here's what I'm thankful for. Here's what I'm thankful to you for. And then just prayed and gave thanks on those things. I think that's what the text is reminding us of. We should enter His presence with praise and thanksgiving. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. And look at verse 5. We'll close out here. It's almost like, well, why? Why should we do these things? Well, because the Lord is good. The Lord is good morally. He does what is right. He does no wrong. He's good providentially. He's always providing for us. He gives us what we need, right? He doesn't provide for us things that we don't need, even though in the minute we may think we do need them, right? His steadfast love endures forever. Didn't we sing that this morning? Didn't we heard that? His love endures forever. This steadfast love, it means it's this covenantal love, this hesed love, this love that is not conditioned, it's not earned, and it's not lost. It is this overwhelming loving kindness, this overwhelming mercy and grace towards us. It endures forever. It doesn't run out. It doesn't just last a little part in this, and then He's got to, you know, power up again. It doesn't just happen in this life, and then we get in eternity, we got to start over again. His loving kindness towards us through Christ, through the blood, it is eternal. I mean, think about that. And His faithfulness is to all generations. From generation to generation, God is faithful to His word. God is faithful to do what He says He's going to do. And that means God's been faithful to me. It means God's been faithful to my family. It means God has been faithful to this church. Been faithful to your family. Therefore, we should make a joyful noise. We should enter His gates with thanksgiving. We should daily celebrate and lift up joyful hearts and hands and mouths and minds and say, yes, Lord, you have saved me. Forever I'm yours. Thank you. thankful for what you're doing in my life now, thankful for the promises of eternal life, thankful for the promise that you have left and you're coming for me, thankful for the promises that when I die, I'll enter into your presence, thankful for the promise that you are preparing good things for those who've trusted in you, who loved you, things that eyes have not seen, minds cannot comprehend, mansions, streets of gold, all those things you can see in Revelation. But thank you, Lord, that I am yours, that you have redeemed me by your blood, and that nobody can take me away. Florida Gardens, let's make a joyful noise to the Lord. Let's serve him with gladness. Let's come into his presence with thanksgiving. Because he's the Lord. He's God. He's made us. We're his. We're the people of his pasture. So let us enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Let us, even now, give thanks to him. Bless his name. Father, even right now, would you just pause our hearts that we can reflect on your goodness towards us and give thanks? Lord, bring to mind things that we can give thanks to you for. Lead us in private, personal prayer even now. Father, would we never allow things in this world which we celebrate, which we rejoice in, to supersede our thanks, our worship, our celebration, our making a joyful noise to you for our great salvation. Lord, lead us to be grateful worshipers. Pray these things through Jesus. Amen.